Tonight you'll find the scripture to begin with in the book of Hosea. That's not the easiest book to find. That's in the stiff pages of your Bible. Amen. Ezekiel, Daniel, and then the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 6 for the scripture tonight. And after we read, and we'll have just a comment or two to make. Look in verse 6, if you would please, in chapter 6 of the book of Hosea. I always wait till the pages quit turning. I detest somebody to tell me we're going to read somewhere and have it read before I get there. And sometimes my pages don't turn as quickly as some others. And that'll be the most important thing going in this room tonight to start with, is the Word of God. It's been belittled and crucified and everything else, but it's still God's blessed Word. Verse 6 in chapter 6 of the book of Hosea. For I desired mercy. For I desired mercy. And not sacrifice. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they like me and have transgressed the covenant. And they have dealt treacherously against me. Gee is the city of them that work iniquity. And is polluted with blood. As the troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I've seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel, and that is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defied. Also, O Judah, he has set an harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. Thank you, you can be seated. Let me say it's a joy to be here. I appreciate your dear pastor, Brother Wardlaw, inviting us to come. And we've changed dates and everything else between ever when it was till now. We finally got everything kind of ironed out. And it's just a joy and a privilege to be here. I enjoy the singing. I appreciate the little fellas singing, don't you? Now, while the rest of those fellas were saying, get down. One boy said, I'm going to keep reading my Bible. I ain't going to decree. It is stood right there. Amen. And I like that. I like it. Now, his mother said, why in the world didn't he bow like the rest of them did? But he's going to keep reading his Bible. He wasn't going to decrease. Amen. I like that. So it is a joy to be here tonight. And God's been so good to us. And we got a lot to praise the Lord for. We can complain about a lot of things, couldn't we? We got a lot to praise God for tonight. Sure have. I can still see to read my Bible. I say praise God for that. And I can still eat a little bit long. Of course, the doctor told me here not long ago, said, whatever you eat, if it tastes good, spit it out. So, That's about right. When you get as many miles as I have on me and you get so many things wrong with you, your eating days are about over with. It's it's eating pills till you rattle and used to be cologne, now it's liniment. And so just a different life to live. But it is good to be saved by the grace of God and going to a better land. I want to tell you something. If God created all that he created with the breath of his mouth, and it only cost him his breath to do that, and man, what a massive world. And I mean, it's just beyond imagination. In fact, Isaiah said, the increase of his government, there's no end. I mean, his creation is just as infinity as God is himself. And I think about that, and if he went all that trouble and spoke it into existence. And then it took his blood to save us. You think about that. Man, what a contrast. And if it took his blood to save us, and think about we're going to have a new heaven, new earth, that's going to be nothing compared to new body. Are you listening to me? Now, you go down to the store and buy your new suit. I mean, it may be new, but it's still got the same kind of sleeves in it. And you got trousers with legs in them, and you got pockets, at least the last one I did, Bolton. Can't ever tell about the next one. But I mean, you get it, it may be new, but I mean, that's suit. But the Lord said, we're now the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. but we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Now that tells me something. It's going to be new. And you ain't never seen anything like that before. I mean, it's just not going to be another suit with arms and legs. No, no, no. Far beyond that. And it's going to be exciting. Amen. And you're going to disappoint me if I don't see you over there. Amen. All right, we hadn't got but a little while. And I found out several years ago, this radio station wanted me to take some time. So we're going to give you the time. If you'll come, if you'll have a daily program, that's Monday through Saturday, and we'll give it to you if you'll come on. I said, well, let me study this thing. So I started studying. Now, you've got it when you're seeing things. Now, this is most of them, you know, probably with football and basketball, maybe a little bit different because that's our God of the day. But anyhow, you've got to, when you're seeing something, you've got about a 20-minute span. And after 20 minutes, your mind starts going somewhere else. And probably when you're watching a game, you watch it for 20 minutes, and you'll take something else, and you'll pick up something else. Your listening span without seeing is 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And I told the radio station, I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take five. He said, you can have more than that. I said, what's the use to have a 15-minute program when folks going to listen 5 minutes on? I sat down and watched people. And they turn the radio on, and they'll listen for 5 minutes, and the conversation's about something else after that. You got a 5-minute listening span. Now that tells me I've already wasted 10 minutes of your span already. 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 So I'm gonna try to be as active in this pulpit and with the power of God to get your listening for just a little bit longer than that tonight. And I hope we leave here having God has spoken to us. Would make any difference in what I say? If God doesn't take it and speak your heart, then we've wasted our time. But if God speaks, you won't get over that. You won't get over. You'll remember when God speaks to you. You'll remember that. I want to talk with you tonight out of this particular chapter here. And this is an amazing book. Amazing book. But I just think about when you read the book of Hosea, the topic of that whole book is love that will not let go. Love that won't let you lose. Boy, we're living in a frivolous world, aren't we? I mean, folks talk about, they come to me. Well, they about quit because I don't pay attention to it. They come to me and said, Brother Lockie, somehow I've lost my love. I said, you as well get out of here then. I said, if you've lost it, I can't find it for you. You don't lose your love. You don't lose your love. If you ever get that agape love, you don't lose it. I mean, it's there. God births it in you. You can't get loose from that. And that's what we think about this book here. Let's get a little background. Israel was under siege. Man, they had lived so far away from God. They had bowed to every kind of god you could think about. The gods of Ashtaroth. They fed their babies to that tin god. Build a fire in it. Go to the Valley of Hinnom. They'd feed their children. We do it a little different now. We get the abortion clinic. But they'd feed their kids to sacrifice to their God. They thought that's the only way to get God's attention was to sacrifice something to that nature. But I'm here to say, you don't have to get God's attention that way. In fact, you got God's attention before you ever thought you did. But they thought that was the way to get the attention of God. But I'm glad I don't live for a God, don't know a God that way. He's different. They thought if they could just somehow sacrifice a child, then they would have the attention of God. And that was the kind of religion that they were bound to. Others were the gods of Baal. They went to the groves of idolatry and, and adultery and committed lewdness. And God said, you know, I brought you out of Egypt and I brought you into land full of milk and honey, and you have groves and vineyards that you neither planted and houses that you did not build. I've given you this, and you've let materialism overlap the spirit. It took two generations to get there, but they had. And God said, as a result of this, the Assyrians are coming, and there in the distance with hobnailed boots, they were treading down God's people. Which leads me to say this. I complain, and you do too probably, about a lot of things that's going on in our world today. Complain a great deal about it. But I want to tell you something. If I have any estimation of what's going on, it is God's correcting hand upon America. Say what you please. We've lived the good life. We turned our back on God. We took His blessings and spit in His face. And now God said He was long-suffering. He has been. Long-suffering, kind, and God said, knoweth it not, in the second chapter of the book of Romans, knoweth thee not that it's a goodness of God that leads you to repentance. But men wouldn't repent. God was good and still is good, but man turned his back on God, and now God's saying judgment's coming. Now that's the only good thing I can say about today. It would bother me tremendously if I didn't know God was in control. If I didn't know that this thing was in the hand. You think about some of the... It's amazing. See some of these politicians walking like turkeys the second day after Thanksgiving. You know. And I mean just strutting around. And I said to myself, they're just puppets on a string. God's got His hand puppeting them. They may think they've got this in His hand, but I've read my blessed book and God has everything in control. I can go to bed tonight. I'll just take a half a baby aspirin, go to bed and sleep like a baby. Because praise God, I know who's in control tonight. It's not the White House. It's not Columbia. That's your capital. I'll tell you, it's not your governor. It's not the House of Parliaments. But I'll tell you, God. Amen. God is in absolute control of things tonight. That's the reason I can say praise God. He's good no matter what's happening, because all things do work together for good to them what? That love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I say bless the Lord. That's the kind of day these folks are living in. If you study history, it's always been a cycle. Always been a cycle. It's nothing new. Men turn to God and nations turn to God and turn away. It's been that kind of course. But I want to say, God simply saying here, what I want you to do in days like this, I want you to feel what I feel. Was it Jeremiah said, no, it was Ezekiel. Ezekiel said, and I sat where they sat. He was down by the river of Kibar, and he sat there for 7 days, and he said, and I sat where they sat. Sometimes, listen, we need to sit and under, will this come apart? All right. Okay. We catch it if it does. But we're living in a day when men just absolutely have neglected what God says and seems that everything's in His hands. But God said, listen, I want you to sit where I've sat. I want you to feel what I'm feeling. By the way, we'll never be able to help our families. We'll never be able to help our church until we sit where God sits and feel what God feels. And God's got unique ways of taking us there. We've listened to the Health and Wealth Club that said, you know, if you live for God, everything's going to go good. Well, that's right. But what we estimate and evaluate good is not what God calls good. Why, you may think yesterday was the worst day you've ever had. You was down on the bottom. You may come to the conclusion after a while that what you thought was the best days you had was the worst days you've had. And the worst days you thought you had probably be the best days you've ever had. And I look back over 50 some years of trying to preach, and some things I thought, Brother Stan, my soul, How can God get anything good out of this? But I look back and say, thank God, those were the things that was making me. That was the thing that was developing my thinking. I say, praise God, I'm glad He knows best for His children. Hosea started preaching. And Hosea simply saying, boy, these folks, I mean, they're just tough. They don't want to turn to God. But he's trying his best to get these folks. Listen to what God's saying. Now, let me put this in everyday language, and I hope you understand this. I can see old Hosea out preaching one night. And he spies a young lady in the audience. And boy, he said, she's such a beautiful lady. And he introduced himself to her. And she seemed to be pleased and seemed to be, you know, kind of accept what Hosea was saying. And so Hosea goes home that night and he says, dear Jesus. Well, me, I said, just dear God, you know, back in old day. But he says, you know, I believe my ministry could be a whole lot better if I just had a wife to love and somebody to be with. I think I could be a whole lot better. We'll make a long story short. God said, go ahead. And so Hosea married this woman by the name of Gomer. And he thought, well, things are going to go real good now. And they did to start with, but she did not have the burden that Hosea had. He was gone. And by the way, it takes a unique one. This is your wife, isn't it? I thought it might have been your daughter, wasn't sure. It takes a unique woman to be a pastor's wife. Huh? I've got one. If we live, when's the first day? First day of October? Me and Miss Lockheed will be married 60 years. Of course, his kids would have got married. But I'm telling you, it takes a unique woman. And Gomer didn't have that burden. She didn't have the concern that Hosea did. And it was making things tough. He thought it was going to be real good. But it's tough now. He comes home one day and Gomer says, Hosea, we're going to have a little child our house. God gets him off the side and said, yes, it's going to be a little boy. God don't have to have these new apparatuses to find out those things. Amen. Amen. Says it's going to be a little boy. And I tell you what I'll do. I'm going to name him for it. Get your name him Jezreel. Judgment of God's on this place. Just name him Jezreel. Those names, those Bibles meant something. Especially if God picked them out. So just name him Jezreel. Judgment's coming. Could I say this to you tonight? We better get our seatbelts fastened. And I realize if we're saved tonight, we belong to God. But oh, Elijah prayed and God closed up the heavens. And when God closed up the heavens, Elijah had to suffer down by the brook just like everybody else did. But God took care of him. Thank God he did. We will not be immune from the consequences of the judgment that God's about to pour out on America. Now, I hope that when the wrath comes, we will be gone. Because we're not appointed to wrath. We're going to get out of here. But there may be, oh, I hope not. I hope we get to for long. Amen. And I'm looking for that. I believe we're in the generation. Praise God, may get out of here. I'd like to pass the undertaker and get the uppertaker, wouldn't you? Yes, sir. I sure would. But you know, we better get ready because judgment will come one day after a while. But I'm grateful, thank God, that God knows how to take care of us in the midst of all that judgment. Are you listening to me? It may not be pie in the sky, but I'll tell you, bless God, when the sun goes down and the wind starts shaking, I'm glad God will snudge up close to his young'uns and we'll know God's around in the midst of all that. Live close to God. Don't get tied up in this liberal world. Stick with your Bible like I was saying a little while ago. Don't shrink. Just stand up and be counted for God in the midst of every bit of it. God said, name him Jezreel. Well, that didn't help a whole lot. And so there's coming another one. And Hosea said, well, praise God, this may help. Now, Gomer had gone plumb crazy. In the first chapter, you'll find out, he said, name that second one Lohama. Now, that means, not sure. just not sure. God's saying, when you name that child Hosea, you're not sure whether that child's yours or not. You think about what Hosea's going through. What did I say a little bit ago? God wants His man Hosea to feel what he's feeling. That, listen, we can't help ourselves, we can't help our neighbors, we can't help our church till we get feeling what God feels. Are you listening to me? He said, listen, Hosea, you're not sure that boy belongs to you. Well, he has a broken heart. Could I say, in the average Baptist church, it's hard to tell who belongs to God and who doesn't. Huh? Boy, Brother Stan, we've learned the language. We've learned how to do it. But I'll tell you how it really comes. When trouble comes and hardships gets a knocking on the door, it usually reveals what we're made out of. He simply says, you don't know where that child really belongs to or not. And Hosea, when you're preaching to these folks, you're not sure whether they belong to me. You're not sure whether they're heathens. You're not sure whether they're part of the family of God. You're just not sure. And therefore, Hosea preached to them. Let them know that they don't need to be part one way and part the other. Let them go all the way with God. Either be His or don't be His. Well, there are a lot of folks that didn't live, you know, come to church and amen, hallelujah, praise God, and forget God before they get out of the parking lot. Yeah. Boy, listen, we ought to learn the fellowship with God and be His, whether in the house of the Lord or where we're not. Amen. Yes, sir. He said, Hosea, you're beginning to feel what I'm feeling. And he was. You know where this people belongs to me or not, Hosea? You begin to see what I see and feel what I feel. Now you're getting to the place you can be of real help to your people. Well, Loamah was born, the next little boy. The next little boy born is Loamah, which means no kin of mine. And God says, Hosea, you and I both know that little boy don't belong to you. He's just not mine. And Hosea's life was breaking apart. And he said, oh God, I know what you're feeling. I know what you're feeling. Because this people has given their affections and their love to somebody or something besides God. Boy, isn't that where we are today? Most Baptists today don't have any affections for God. Only thing they want out of God is a payroll. Huh? Is God to make my path easy? Keep me healthy? God, listen, God may not be as interested in your physical condition as you think He might be. You know, the only reason that God gave us these healings in the Bible were signs. Huh? They were, when He was doing those things in the Gospels, the Lord just said, I'm just authenticating who this person, Jesus Christ, really is. These miracles are showing who He is. He's the ruler over the atmosphere. He rules the body. He rules the storms. He rules it all. You begin to see who He really is. And if you'll notice in the book of Acts, and that's not a book of doctrine, it's a transitional book, and it tells us in the beginning we start off with miracles. Miracles. God is authenticating the church. Really saying who the church really is. But you get past halfway through the book of Acts and you get away from miracles and you start seeing the providence of God. And that's what we're living in today. Folks, you know, they really want miracles. You go to the average prayer room today, Brother Wardlaw, and the average folks in there, 10 people give requests and 9 of them are physical. That's right. God's not that interested. God's interested in His name been glorified. And so he said, you know, these people don't belong to me. They're not mine. You see that, don't you, Hosea? The people that don't belong to me. If there's a real count, and Lord God, nobody can do this but the Lord, but there's a real count across our Baptist folks in this city. Let's just get it down this city. It'd scare you to death to know how many has never been to God. Know nothing about salvation. No kin of mine. Come to the house of God and go through religious calisthenics, but forget God. He's only a sideline. He's only a religious figure. But I want to tell you, He's God. He's Lord. Amen. He's going to claim that. Every church is filled with people that don't know God. Some years ago, I said, I want to do something. Folks' heads bowed, and I think it may be appropriate to do that under these circumstances. I said, how many in here really know that you know, that you know, that you really know that you're saved? I want to see your hand. And it was scary, preacher, how few people could say, I really know that I'm saved. Let me tell you something. If you don't know that, you get that tacked down tonight. You get that thing nailed down that you know. Because when the storm comes, you better really know that you're saved by the grace of God. I tell my students on the first day, We train preachers. That's all we do. We don't, nothing secular. We just train preachers. And I tell them on the first day, I said, there's two things you need to settle right now. You need to settle this first day in class. I always have chapel the first day. I said, all right, men, look at me. You need to know for sure that you're saved by the grace of God. Nail it down. Don't have any doubt. Don't hope so, no hope so, or maybe so. You know that you're saved. Nail that down right now. Nail it down. Secondly, you better be sure that God's called you. You better sure the calling of God's on you. And if you know those two things, when the storm comes, you can stay with it. Those two things. That one thing you need to get settled tonight. Get to really know that you're saved by the grace of God. Why? Hosea comes home and Gomer's gone. She is gone. And the children's still in the nursery. And he does his best to prepare those kids. I'm just reading between the lines. Does his best, gets those children together, puts them to bed. He lies down in the bed and says, I wonder where she is tonight. I wonder whose arms she's in. Don't you know he was going through a heart-breaking time? Could I say this? I wonder how many times God comes in our church and looks around the pews and said, I wonder who they're making love with tonight. They're not here. I wonder who they're paying affections to tonight. Boy, he's weeping. Listen, I believe folks love God. I believe they want to be around God and God's people. Amen. What in the world will folks do on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night when church is going on? What do they do? I'm like a fish out of water. I remember some years ago, and I could count on my hand about as many times as I've missed services since I've been saved, and I was sick then. I remember I couldn't, I down in my back, I don't remember what happened now, but I couldn't go to church. And I lived inside of the church. And it was on Wednesday night. And I pulled myself up and stretched myself. I got over to the window. And I could hardly make it. My back was in such a condition. And I pulled myself over to the window. And I got to look and I saw those cars coming out the driveway. I saw those folks getting out just a little ways up yonder. And I said, Lord God, why am I here? And I can't go to church. He said, you better be glad you got that kind of feeling. Because there's a lot of folks who'll never darken that door on Wednesday night. And God's saying who they making love to tonight. Listen. He said, what I desire, mercy And that's a good translation. It means love. Love, that's what God wants. God's not interested in your money. Praise God, He can turn the... That is artificial, isn't it? Oh, you can't tell anymore. But I'm going to tell you, if God wanted to, He could turn every one of them into $100 bills if He wanted to. God's not in it. Oh, He lays some stipulations down how you ought to give. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm going to tell you, that's not what it's all about. No, sir. You know what God wants? God wants love. Hosea could have said, Gomer, I don't care if you didn't make up a bed. I don't care if you can't make bread. If you give me love, that's all I want. By the way, that's all God wants of you. He wants you to love Him, Him to love you. That's what, that's all, what's all about. Not about giving your money, thank God, for those that got money. It's not about talents, thank God, but these folks can play these instruments here. I can't play a radio without getting static. I want to say thank God for folks that's got talents to sing and play these instruments. I'm dead, but God's not looking for that. God's looking for you to love Him. Play that violin or fiddle, ever which one that is, I couldn't tell. But play it while you can and love God. Play that piano, those flutes, play them while you can and love God while you do. That's all God wants. God wants you to love Him. God wants you to show affections to Him. Because you see, God didn't die to save this whole world. Not for the birds and the bees and the apple trees. God died for you to love Him. Love Him. Praise God, that's why. Now, listen, a lot of things I can't do. I'd like to sit down with that baby grand and be able to play. I can find middle C, and from there I'm lost. I can give you the scale do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. That's as far as I can go. But I'll tell you, thank God I can love the Lord. I can go somewhere and tell Jesus I love Him. First song you and I learn, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Oh, God wants you to love Him. And Hosea said, all I wanted from Gomer was to love me, and she wouldn't do it. That's what God wants you to do. Develop love for the Lord. Amen. You don't fall in love with Him, you develop love. If you happen to walk in a church, and I'm walking around in front of the church, and I'm holding my hand out, and I'm mumbling something, don't bother me. I'm making love to Jesus. Amen. I may be singing that song, He Walks With Me. And it talks with me. And it tells me I'm his. Woo! Glory to God. Boy, it gets sweet when you start loving Jesus. What a difference it makes. Thank God. That's all He wants you to do. Make love to the Lord. Oh, by the way, that's all He wants. All He's getting out of what He died for is a bunch of old thugs like you and me, saved by the grace of God. That's all He wants. And we're accepted in the beloved. Amen. 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 Well, Hosea, heartbroken. Where is going? One day the Lord God came to him and said, Hosea, she's gone far as sin let her go. She's out on a slave block. She's gone far as she can go. Now, you've been talking about how you love her. Go down to the slave block and buy her tomorrow. Go down to the slave block and buy her. I'm going to tell you, if you got love that way, your homes can stay together. Huh? Go to the slave block and buy her. Hosea got what he had. Put it in the cart and he goes down to the slave block. He waits around a while. Got a few sack of barley. A few shillings in his pocket. They start bringing the slaves out. Auction them off. And after a while, he was amazed. I see Gomer's hair that was black as a raven. It's streaked now. Unkempt. I can see that face that was as smooth as a petal of a rose. It's wrinkled, and the fur of sin is plowed over her face. Eyes that used to dance in the dark are eyes that are searching and uncertain. sin took her further than she wanted to go. Further than she wanted to go. Years ago, a fellow was a member of our church, was a sheriff in that county. He called me one morning and said, "Brother Lockie," said, "you may not want to do this, and if you don't, be perfectly all right. But there's a fellow in jail, and he's asking for you. Could you come?" I said, "Who is he?" He called his name, and he had killed one of my best friends. And he said, "Brother Lockie's calling for you." I said, "All right, Ted, I'll go." I went up to the jail, and he said, "Now, preacher, this is as far as I can go. The door's going to lock behind you when he gets here, and you're going to be on your own. But," said, "you turn that corner there, and the first cell to the left, he's sitting in there." I took slow steps, and I wondered, how am I going to feel when I look in the face of a man 2 days ago took my best friend's life? And I walked around the corner, and he stood there with a cold bar in his hands. And I walked up, he slid down those bars and said, oh God, why did it do it? Why did it do it? Preacher Lockie, sins take me further than I wanted to go." Oh God. It's hard. But I stood there in bars and I told him, "You may have done a lot of bad things, and your life may be an ash heap. But God loves you. God loves you." He bowed in the newspaper, was catching his tears, and there was a spot, Brother Preacher, that lodge where he cried. He said, "The best I know how, Preacher, I've given my heart and life to God. I don't have anything to offer Him, but I'm giving it myself." Sin took him further than he wanted to go. Only 6 months after that, waiting for execution, somebody beat him to death. Sad. Sad. But sin will take you further than you want to go. I see Gomer standing there, hair unkempt. Her clothes hadn't been changed. The stench of a body without a bath. Hosea looked. He looked past those wrinkles. He looked past that pepper-stringed hair and remembered that day he took her by the hand and said, "I love you." And every one of those wrinkles suddenly left, and the eyes that was uncertain vanished. And there was that love. Hosea, they start auctioning. Hosea laid down his coins. And somebody upped the bid. Somebody laid another coin down. And another. And Hosea, given all that he had, he throwed the 2 sacks of barley down. The auctioneer said, "Go once, go twice. She's yours, young man." Hosea walks over, takes her by the arm and said, "Darling, I bought you twice. We're going home." One day, I was on the slave block of sin. Yes, dying without God. The wrinkles of sin had made its furrows in my life. I was on the bottom. Condemnation stood over me. Penalty gazed me in the face. I stood helpless and hopeless as a 13-year-old boy in a little country church with planks on the walls. How I lost and I've done about God. But I want to tell you, thank God He went to Calvary for me. Paid that price for me. Thank God, whatever it took, He paid that to save my soul. And if you and I would have been the only people lost, He'd have died for you and me. I'll tell you, thank God, whoop, He took me off the slave block that night, wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, put me in His cart and said, we're headed towards home. Thank God you're mine and we'll love each other till this thing's all over. I'm almost 80 years old. I retired 15 years ago, but I can't find no place to stop. I think about what Jesus did for me at Calvary and done for me. I want to say I love Him tonight. Thank God I'm about not to quit. I don't care how dark it may get in politics. I want to say, thank God He loved me while I was unlovely. Came where I was. When I wasn't looking for God, He came looking for me. Saved me by the good grace of God. Amen. You know what it requires of me? Not a sharp mind. I may be like a lot of folks. I may have old-timers, all-timers, or part-timers. But it doesn't make any difference. Jesus still loves me. Praise God. Whether I'm rich or whether I'm poor, whether I've got on good clothes or bad, I'm glad Jesus loves me. He paid the price. Thank God, wrote my name down. And I want to say hallelujah. What a Savior tonight. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Mercy I want and not sacrifice. It's easy for us to sacrifice. Huh? I'll tell you, it takes a heart that knows God to love Him. Amen. I sit in a little old room, smaller than this platform, 2 years ago. And the doctor looked me in the face and said, you've got to have emergency surgery. Your main heart valve, aorta valve, is closed almost. And you got to have emergency surgery. Closed that door and said, I'll be back in a few minutes. And I want to tell you, a thousand things running through that room, Brother Preacher. Run through that room, but all of a sudden, in the midst of all of it, there's a voice. Woo! Deep down in my soul, I heard Him say, but I still love you. Amen. Amen. Heart trouble, thank God, old timers, whatever. He still loves us. Glory to God. You may not have 50 cents to your name, and you may not be able to read your name in boxcar letters, but I'm glad, thank God, if you're saved, Jesus loves me. This I know. Now I want to ask you how much you love Him. How much you really love Jesus tonight. I'll tell you how much you love Jesus. How much have you complained? That tells me how much you love Jesus. These folks always complain about what's going on. We just love Jesus in the midst of it. Can I tell you this? You take a family that's going through hell. Boys going bad, girls going bad. But if mom and daddy love each other, they can hold hands and go through fire. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, church, if you love one another, love your preacher, love one another, and love God, you can go through all the fires of hell that sins around you if you just keep on loving Jesus. Jesus, glory to God. Woo! He'll walk in here, Brother Wardlaw, pull you up in His arms and say, praise God, I died that little bunch of sheep down there. I love Him. Glory, I'd rather have that. I'd rather have that 10 million world. Glory to God. Do you love Him tonight? Do you love Him? If you ain't listening, if there is a lack of love in your heart and God spoke to you, it'd be a good time to get around this altar tonight and say, dear God, give me a greater capacity to love you. Boy, that's what God, when you talk about changing your life. Glory to God. That changed my life more than anything I know. Just learn to love Jesus. Brother Preacher, I don't know where you ever get that way, but sometimes this book gets closed up to me. Man, I can't unlock it. I mean, run up on a wall. I've had to close it. And I say, Jesus, I love you. I may not be able to understand the whole lot you got to say. And the book may be closed up, but could I tell you I love you? Boy, you just keep a loving Jesus. And after a while, bless God, light breaks in. Yeah. Amen. He just wants you to love Him. Wants you to love Him.